From KUOW 94.9 Seattle, I'm Ross Reynolds. Should Seattle Port Commissioners get a raise? They make $6,000 a year. Port Commission Chair Tom Albro thinks they should, up to $42,000 a year. That's what state lawmakers make. The Port of Seattle has an annual budget that's north of $500 million a year. The port owns and operates the nation's sixth busiest seaport. It also operates Seattle-Tacoma International Airport, the nation's 17th busiest. The port runs four passenger cruise terminals with around 800,000 passengers back in 2011. Plus, they've got four public marinas, including the Shilshil Marina, along with major real estate holdings in downtown Seattle. Joining us to talk about the port is the chairman of the Seattle Port Commission, Tom Albro. He's been with the commission since 2010. He's also the owner and president of Seattle Monorail Services. That's the company that operates the monorail for the city of Seattle. They've been doing that since 1994. Thanks so much for stopping by.
Well, thanks, Ross. Good to be here.
Well, $6,000 a year to be port commissioner, and it's supposed to be a part-time job.
Yeah, and I think it is a part-time job, but it has to be a job that really anybody who's qualified to vote for it could reasonably consider serving in. I mean, that's to me the fundamental issue of a representative democracy. So as a port commissioner, I'm responsible to almost 2 million people in King County, 39 cities. As you said, you mentioned the budget impacts, the facilities that we have. It's really, how do we leverage those things to create jobs here? How do we steward our environmental footprint to shrink it down? At the end of the day, that's a lot of work. It's a lot of political work, and we need it to be done well. And so I think the average person should be able to consider serving as a port commissioner.
Well, I just outlined the complexities. The port is a huge organization. It's got its fingers in so many different pots. Do you have some staff that help you as a commission member to research these things?
We do. We have, well, first off, the CEO would be the first one to say that, hey, everybody here at the port works for you guys, which is true because we are not a legislative body. We're a five-member executive body. So we task out the CEO and all the staff to do all the work in terms of running the enterprises. But when it comes time to deal with political work around the county and actually engage with the citizenry and make sure that the port's serving their interests, you know, that's really our job, and you really can't delegate that. So for instance, there was an issue regarding levees in the Green River Valley recently and to whether or not to make repairs that were funded. And that was something that, as a port commissioner, I weighed in on. So I'm lobbying my colleagues at King County saying, let's move forward on that thing. And if we don't, we're going to shut off investment into the Green River Valley and it's going to harm our economy. So there really isn't a good boundary to economics.
Well, those of you who are on the commission, can you spend full time on it? I mean, you've got a whole other job.
It's a demanding environment, and there seems to be no end to possibilities in terms of what you spend your time on. It's a big county, so yes, it can take all the time that you're willing to spend. And I would say that if you spend it well, it's a benefit to the citizens.
You know, the Seattle Times has editorialized against this idea, and here's the reason why. They say if it's so hard finding good port commissioners, maybe they should raise the salary to $42,000 from $6,000. But lots of people apply for the job, so they say there's not really a problem here.
We do get a lot of people that have applied to the first position that we had opening, and I'm pleased to say that Courtney Gregoire is our appointment, and I'm looking forward to her joining us on the 15th. But in truth, when you look at who in the county lives close enough to be able to meaningfully engage in the things that are port-related, so a lot of meetings and they take time, who has the kind of flexibility in their schedule in order to be available to, you know, a host of events that can be everything from breakfast events to public meetings to evening events, then you really rule out the vast majority of people that can vote on the position. So you're left with a choice, I think, of saying, well, this is something that average folks need not apply for, or is just going to be done poorly.
You know, what you say kind of makes sense, but you've been through this whole process of recruiting people for the one empty position, and now you're recruiting more people. Do you actually talk to people who you go, this would make a good port commissioner, who say to you, I can't afford it, Tom?
Yeah, I do all the time. And they say it on two levels. One is they just can't afford to make the economics work. Or two, their life is such that they don't have the flexibility in terms of their schedule. So it's a heavy lift no matter what. You know, I recognize that this is something that many listeners would say, golly, there goes the port running amok. Here, this Commissioner Albro wants to give everybody a big raise. And so just to be absolutely clear as to why I'm doing this, that I'm not doing it for my own interest, I'm waiving it for myself. You know, I do not want to be here representing to you that I'm going to be giving myself a raise. I'm saying to the public, I'm saying to voters, we need these jobs done well. And we need people like you who are listening to be able to run for it.
Well, can you raise your own salaries? You're the executive.
Yeah, we can, actually. The state legislature gave us the wherewithal to be able to do that. It's kind of a two-edged sword. You know, it's a blessing and a curse. So, you know, we'll be able to do it if we pass the resolution tomorrow.
What's your headcount say? Is it going to pass?
I think so. I wouldn't have put us into this position unless I thought that we had the votes and support. So it's something that I do expect to pass tomorrow.
Will any of the other commissioners forsake the raise from $6,000 to $42,000, as you say you will?
Well, I think I'll let each of them speak to that for themselves. First, you have to stand for election before it would apply anyway. So this wouldn't apply until January of 2014. And for those seats that are on the ballot, we'll have 4 out of the 5 commission seats on the ballot. So I don't think any of us know really who it's going to apply to yet. But the other thing I would say is I think that would become it's a wrong direction to go to use economic wherewithal as a litmus test as to whether or not someone is reasonable as a reasonable choice for serving in elected office. So I hope that others do not forego it.
You're listening to Tom Albro. He's chair of the Seattle Port Commission. Big responsibilities, as we've been talking about. They're still operating, even with the appointment of Courtney Gregoire. Last week, there's still one commissioner short of the 5 who were supposed to be in charge of that. If you've got a question for Tom Albro about the raises or anything else having to do with the port, it's 206-543-5869. That's 206-543-KUOW, or outside our immediate area, 800-289-5869. If you'd prefer to put your question in writing, it's conversation@KUOW.org. Now, the Port of Seattle has been critical of a plan to build a new third stadium to bring an NBA team to the area around SoDo. There are concerns that the new stadium could slow traffic getting to and from the port. Has this issue been settled to your satisfaction?
Well, I don't think it's settled yet. I mean, we do have an EIS process, and I'm encouraging the city to include locations, possible locations outside of the city, such as in Bellevue over along 405 and north of Northeast 4th, where we'll have a new light rail going in there. I think it's an outstanding location for us to consider. So it's still an open question. I will say that 40% of our economy, state's economy, is here in King County. And if you look at the significance of the Port of Seattle specifically to that economy, but also to the entire economy of the state, being able to move things through the port is vital to our state's economic interests. So it's a big concern, and I'm skeptical as to whether or not we can actually mitigate it and make it work.
Well, you're convinced it's a problem. There are those who say, well, most of these games are going to be at night. The port's not really operating at full speed during the evening. What's the big deal?
Yeah, it is a big deal. For one thing, I think right now we have 3 events a week down there with the new arena. I think it would go to about 5. That is a high frequency. I was just talking to somebody who's a former lawmaker, and he was telling me about it. You know, he's from King County, and he was over in Eastern Washington some time ago, and he was talking to an exporter, and he was surprised to hear the fellow in Eastern Washington say, "Yeah, they time what they do by the Mariner's schedule." So they knew the Mariner's schedule, what the start times were in terms of when they were going to dispatch their loads for outbound exports. So it makes a big difference to everybody.
I guess it surprises me that a moment ago you said you didn't think it could be mitigated. I mean, aren't there ways to widen the roads or do other things to get around this issue?
Well, I'm a civil engineer, and you know, I believe in the power of an engineer to solve just about any problem with unlimited funds. And so I think it really comes down to, where is there the political will? Do we have the funds that we're going to be able to apply to this? And at what cost? I mean, what are we going to take those funds from? And so I simply say, look, basketball is a good thing. I think we would all be excited to have it come back here, and it looks like that's going to happen. Let's put the facilities where we can most afford to do so and not burden ourselves with either loss of jobs or significant costs in a time when we have a lot of things that we need to be funding.
How will you go to the mat on this? I mean, clearly the Port of Seattle could file legal challenges to this, could cause a lot of problems for this going ahead. How big a deal is it to you?
Well, I would say politically, I'll never stop saying I think that's the wrong location. We do not want to be obstructionist. We recognize that voters didn't give us responsibility for land use or for transportation planning or other things. But we are responsible for economic development in our county and state. And there's just no way that I could ever say that an arena going there is just a good thing.
Define we won't be obstructionist. Are you telling me the port
will
not
file a collection? Well, I would not support the port entering a lawsuit in this matter or joining. We certainly had an opportunity to do that. But I do think that as a elected official, I have a responsibility for, you know, the thing I was elected to do, which is grow our economy, create jobs, and especially the part of the economy that serves the middle class. That's what we're talking about. We can't just, you know, skinny it out in the middle. We're missing good jobs that allow people to send their kids to school, and that's what the port really undergirds.
How about low-income people, specifically low-income people who work at port facilities? Last May, Puget Sound Sage, a coalition of labor and faith and community organizations, put out a report saying that wages for some SeaTac airport workers had actually declined from about $15 an hour to about $10 an hour since 2005. And at that time, I asked the author of the report, David Mendoza, why, if the pay was so low, the SeaTac employees didn't just leave.
Many of these workers are people of color and immigrants who have difficulty finding new jobs. But more importantly, there should be no reason that a worker at a publicly owned airport should be making poverty wages.
Why should workers at a publicly run airport, Port of Seattle, be not making living wages?
Well, I guess I dismiss the contention, but I do think that there's something that is really represented in the frustration, and that is, you know, how do we make it so that the economic ladder has more rungs on it and people are able to go from what used to be considered entry-level jobs. I mean, myself, I worked as a cashier, a janitor, delivered pizza, did all kinds of things in order to get myself through school and support my family when we were all younger. So what's wrong with our economy that's not working more generally? And that's what gets me back to the port's role as an economic development agency and workforce development. One of the best ideas I heard is co-locating at SeaTac community college programs to help people actually really move up in the economy.
What do you mean you dismiss the contention that they're making more than $10 an hour? You say that making $10 an hour is a living wage?
So there's always – right. It's just what part of the story you want to emphasize. So – we were all under a master concession agreement at the airport, I don't know, almost a dozen years ago. And since that time, now we have direct leases. We've actually made it so local business owners can actually open a venue at the airport and promote their products. And we see that with Beechers and other folks. So in that time, we've actually doubled the number of jobs in the concessions program. In that time, even that portion of the workforce, or the number, gross number of people that were in the represented workforce, has grown. So I guess I look at the fact that we're creating economic opportunity, and what we need are jobs, and we need people being able to move through the system and improve their earning power.
Tom Albro is my guest. He's the chairman of the Seattle Port Commission. We're at 206-543-5869. 800-289-5869. You can write to us, conversation at kuow.org. Let's go to Fletch, who's been waiting patiently to get in on the conversation. Fletch, did you have a question or a comment for Port Commission Chairman Tom Albro?
It's more a comment. I'm in agreement with Tom Albro on the need to compensate commissioners effectively, but I want to comment particularly about the phrase part-time job. It leaves an impression that I think is misleading. When I was chair of the Port Ethics Board, and when I decided to run for an open seat on the commission sometime back, I interviewed the commissioners and asked them about the time demands. The first year, I was told, the first year in order to get on top of the job would be about 1,800 to 2,000 hours. That's a full-time job. And thereafter, people I talked to said they were spending anywhere from 1,000 to 1,200 hours a year on the job as a part-time job. This is a very significant job, one of the most underappreciated government and economic institutions in our region. Moreover, it's an extremely difficult job to be elected, because you run countywide,
yeah,
and you can spend easily $100,000 to become a port commissioner and earn money that is equivalent to flipping hamburgers.
Right. So you would agree with Tom Albro that they should get a raise to $42,000.
I don't know what the number is, the right number.
Yeah.
But this is a job which does require excellent people and should be compensated accordingly.
Fletch, thanks very much for your phone call. And from what Tom Albro has been telling with us, he's pretty sure that the commissioners are going to go along with that. We're just about out of time, but I did want to ask you one question that I always ask people who represent the port. The Port of Seattle taxes King County residents. As I understand it, very few ports do tax local residents. Business seems to be going well at the port. Why do you still have a tax on King County residents?
So, well, first off, there are 75 ports in Washington State, and I think all of them have a local property tax. It's one of the unique things about our state that we have port.
Well, compared to peer ports in other states.
So, first, other ports like Los Angeles have oil, and so they actually drill oil and sell oil, petroleum, if you will, crude for refinement. Most of our tax dollars go to really three things. One, we are retiring bonds on Terminal 18, which was a massive improvement and something that really positioned us well for the kind of growth that we've had in recent years. The big ones online are transportation improvements outside of our fence line and environmental remediation also outside of our direct fence line, and oftentimes what we didn't have any direct control in, we were not the cause of. So what's happening is more and more of our tax dollars are going to the things that are kind of falling to the taxpayer generally, transportation, environmental remediation, and other things. So
you mentioned retiring bonds, and I should mention that I think just before you took office, the port did lower the property tax.
And we've lowered it since, actually.
Would it go down again then once you retire these bonds?
I hope so. I do believe that the general trajectory ought to be to continue to lower the port property tax. But, it really depends on, what kinds of environmental remediation and what kind of costs we get saddled with and how we deal with that. So we're going to do our best to put that on the people who actually polluted as opposed to the taxpayer.
Tom Albro, we really appreciate you taking time out from your busy day to stop by and talk to us.
Thank you very much.
Tom Albro, chair of the Seattle Port Commission. From KUOW 94.9 Seattle, I'm Ross Reynolds.